Strap up and down the hatch. It's the Brands Hatch preview.
Hello and welcome to the British Touring Car Podcast. We're going to take you through some sad news, first of all. On Monday at Alton Park, a track which we all know and love quite well, there was an unfortunate accident there where two motorbike riders lost their life in what can only be described as a freak accident.
Yeah, a horror pileup at the exit of Old Hall, which, as Sam has said, there has sadly killed two drivers. Those drivers were?
Yeah, Owen Jenner, age 21, and Shane Richardson, age 29. There is another driver who, as of this time, Tuesday, is still in a serious condition in hospital with his injuries. Hopefully, all being well, they'll fight their way through and get out the other side, but we can only send our condolences out to the two families that have lost.
Yeah, and we all know that motorsport is dangerous. We all see the signs at race meetings and in the programmes, etc., but this is the most brutal reminder of that fact. And yeah, Sam says, we all here at the podcast send our thoughts and wishes to both the families and involved, and also the fellow riders and mechanics. And you see it in any sport where a death, it goes beyond just the two drivers. There's families, there's teams, there's we all know that motorsport is one big family, as cliched as that sounds. And instances like this just bring home the sad reality that motorsport is dangerous. Thankfully, it's not as dangerous as it used to be, but this sort of event always just hammers home that message, and it's just, as I say, it's a brutal reminder of that fact.
Yeah, unfortunately, bikers are at the most risk, and they understand that going into race weekends and stuff like that, but it's not the outcome that we obviously wanted, and we wish the families well going forward and everyone else that may or may not have been affected by it. But we'll get into the touring car news now. On a slightly lighter note, we have an extra driver joining the grid this weekend and for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Surprised, because obviously all all licenses had been taken up and had been filled. Special dispensation has been given, with all TBL license holders voting unanimously to allow the extra driver, which is great.
Not only that fact, he had announced before the start of the season that there was nothing really he could do to get on the grid as well.
No, but then I suppose with PMR only being at the one car, and I think Adam Weaver, the principal team principal, had said that they were hoping to get back to two cars at some point. An opportunity has presented itself for Nick Halstead to get himself back on the grid. I have to say, the livery looks absolutely insane. That's brilliant, brilliant livery. And I think that had we had the BTCC House of Memes tournament now, I think Max Hall might have been given a little bit more run for his money. Because I think, obviously, to see it in the flesh, which we will do, because we are going to Brands Hatch on Sunday, once we book the tickets.
We'll book some tickets for that.
Yeah, I'll probably do that after this. But yeah, the car looks mega from the renders. And it's good to have Nick back on the grid. Whilst he might not be a driver that runs near the front, he is a driver that does a heck of a lot of work off the grid or away from the sort of behind the wheel to grow the sport. And I think that can only be a good thing for the sport, to borrow a phrase from Sam, moving forward.
Yeah, one of the things that he does bring to a weekend, of course, is the Crazy Carts on Saturday, which he has announced will be back. So if you are there on Saturday, go and check them out. You'll get to see some of the drivers in a more relaxed format, where they're having a little bit of fun with their cohorts and some interesting racing around a very small circuit.
Absolutely. Right, talking of interesting racing around a very small circuit, it's Brands Hatch Indy Weekend. One of our favourite tracks on the grid is a tiny little amphitheatre, this one. Mad thing that, okay, I know it's a slightly longer version, we should go to that new, but mad thing this place held the British Grand Prix at some point in its history. In terms of touring cars, it's officially 10 corners. I'm not quite sure how they've worked that out, but officially it's 10 corners. It's 1.21 miles, so you're one of the shorter circuits, well under a minute here for your lap times. Debuted in 1958 in terms of the touring cars. And because I've done my research and you haven't, we'll always play that game. Who has got the qualifying that record?
And Ingram, I'm going to go for.
No.
Okay.
So straight away, wrong
Ingram
with that.
On the big circuit, though, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes, because that was the legendary one. Yeah. Lap. Yeah. Yeah. So yes. Great. No, it was Colin Turkington in 2022 with a 47.5.
It's normally a BMW stronghold, this, isn't it?
It needs to be this weekend. Circuit. It needs to be this weekend, given the start that BMWs have had. And then race record, if you would.
I'm going to go for Turkington again.
No, it will be Sutton.
Oh, okay.
It says in 2023 and a 48.2. Mm. So about half a second, or actually no, near enough a second off the qualifying lap pace. A
couple of bits that I remember about the Indy circuit, having been there and watched some of the races there. Do you remember that Kamish move into turn one around the outside
in the pouring rain
conditions?
Yeah.
That was a ridiculous move, first of all.
It was, though technically that was the GP weekend. But of course, yeah, the GP weekend does race on the same part, Paddockhill Bend, as...
The Indy circuit can produce some excellent racing and is really, really good for viewing as well because of that bowl that you suggested that it is. You can see pretty much every corner if you stand at certain points on the circuit.
Yeah, and historically, Clearways was Matt Neal's favourite overtaking spot. I'm sure scholars of the sport will be fondly remembering Matt Neal's sort of little love tap to the rear to unsettle the car before sneaking himself down the inside. That was one that
little
would be
tap to pass.
Yeah, rinse and repeat from Matt Neal. In terms of more previous years, we'll go back to last year, 2024. Remind you of the race winners there and who might be looking to sort of build on that from this year. Race one was won by Turkington. Obviously, he won't be there this weekend. He might be there, but not racing, yeah. I should add.
It was quite a dominant weekend from him last year.
It was, yeah.
Obviously, took the first two wins.
Yes.
And almost looked untouchable as well. He drove away from the pack in those races.
Yeah, he did. He was followed by Cook in race one, who then had Sutton behind him. Sutton did what Sutton does and scored a treble podium, a trio of thirds this weekend.
Did that a lot last year.
Which is really quite impressive, though, because Pearson won race three. I can't remember exactly if he got the put on pole for this, but he finished 11th in race one, which means that 12 or 11 must have come out, which means Sutton would have started much down the grid
and
still got third in race three. Race two was Colin Turkington from Tom Ingram, and then race three, as I say, Pearson and Chilton and Sutton. It's a track where basically everybody goes well at. It's quite difficult to call this weekend in terms of predictions, which we'll get to, because the same every car goes, because it's so quick, most cars go well here. The Coopers go well here. Bobby Thompson's had some good results here in the Cooper in the past. Obviously, we've got three of those this weekend with Hall, Patterson and Hamilton. I think both Hall and Patterson in particular should be eyeing up some top 10 finishes this weekend.
Yeah, the Coopers, as you say, always tend to go well, and I think those two drivers, especially from the opening weekend at Donington, seem to be already comfortable in the car. Obviously, Patterson's raced the Cooper before, but Hall has settled in really nicely, and scoring points in that opening weekend can only be a confidence boost for them.
Absolutely. I think the car that perhaps struggles here the most is the Toyota, if I'm being honest with you. It's not really, in recent memory, come alive here that I can think of. I think, as usual, it's going to be a battle at the front between Napa and Hyundai. You'd like to think, from a championship point of view, BMW will be a little bit stronger this weekend, as you say, at a track that normally suits them. Obviously, last year, Hill had his steering lockup in race two, going into Druids, and crashed out there. He didn't have that was probably his weekend last year, where every driver has a bad weekend. That was probably his last year.
Yeah, he had a fourth and a 12th to go along with that.
Yeah.
I think if he can be inside the top seven this weekend, I think he'll be happy, considering how the car looked pace-wise at Donington.
I don't think he'll be happy if he's in the top seven, because I can't see how Ingram and Sutton might be in the top three. That's the problem for Hill, is that he needs to have a pretty mega weekend already to close that gap. And it's not a massive gap, we should say, but the problem is that the Napa Ford, particularly in Sutton's hands, and the Virtue Hyundai has come out so quick, and they both looked so good at Donington last time out.
And there are three drivers in each team that could conceivably be on the podium or take wins this weekend, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's a good chance for people like Kreese and Osborne to score vital championship points for themselves as well, because it's a fast track. It's a track that every driver on the grid will know, will have raced around in some capacity, in some series. Obviously, Max Hall debuted in the touring cars this year, but the Clios have come here in the past. Have come here in the past. So it's a track where everybody should have a fair amount of knowledge on, albeit obviously touring cars is a different ballgame to some of the sport series.
A couple of points to look out for on the track, certainly overtaking points, are up into Druids, and as you've already mentioned, coming out of Clearways onto the back straight. It's a track where you've got to get a good run and a good flow to be able to make the most of it and be able to get that good run on a driver to get the overtake done. So we could see quite a lot of side-by-side racing this weekend, which always makes for good entertainment. And all being well, from what I've seen, should be dry. I'm hoping it's dry.
Yeah, dry.
I don't really want to get wet.
No, warm and dry is the forecast. It's one of those rare circuits. This is going to sound really weird, but go with me on it, that you can overtake on every corner at.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't say it for every track we go to, and you can't say every track
in the
world.
You've got to be brave in some circumstances, but yes.
I am confident that I can name an overtake on every corner of that track that I've seen throughout the years.
Yeah, and you
can't say that necessarily for every single track that we go to. So, yeah, I think this weekend, as you say, a lot of side-by-side racing, a lot of close action. The grid's already quite close as it is, and obviously around a short circuit like this, traffic will definitely play a part. In the races, because there will be overtaking of lapped cars because of how short the circuit is. Be interesting to see what the tyres do this weekend after a difficult start to the season for them at Donington. But before we go into the sort of previewing some of the teams and stuff, I'll grab a moan because I like a moan.
Okay, we'll get the soapbox in.
Yeah, we talked about what we might see on track this weekend. One thing we won't be seeing a lot of on track is support series. It's a weird one, isn't it?
It's very bare.
So just to give you an idea on Sunday, I won't talk about Saturday because we're not there and it's not televised. So, you know, we've got the Caterhams,
Caterhams can be exciting.
They can also be really dull.
They could be.
And also we don't get them very often throughout the season, so it's almost pointless. It's like, oh, here's, you know.
It's really difficult when a championship like that or a series like that comes in for one weekend out of the 10, you don't know the top runners and riders in that championship. You don't know what sort of...
You don't ever know, isn't it? Because you look at the program, you start scratching going, oh, is that such and such? You raced a Clio in 2004 or something. Yeah,
it's difficult to keep up with, and sometimes that can make the interest in it struggle slightly.
Yeah, we've got the Virtue Mini Trophy. Yeah, absolutely fine. No problem with that. Obviously, touring cars. Porsche Sprints are the small Porsches. We've not got big Porsches this weekend.
Nope. Too small for the big Porsches. Yep. I kind of understand that one, but I'd love to see something like the Legends back.
Then we've got lunch.
And I'm going to keep saying it again.
Yeah, then we've got lunch. Then we've got the touring cars. Then we've got Caterhams to the group. I mean, the schedule is so sparse, they've put stuff like Caterham 7 Championship UK to grid in the schedule to make it look interesting. So after lunch, we've literally got touring cars, Caterhams, minis, sprint, and touring cars again. So that's awful. I know, obviously, they wanted the Topa Juniors this weekend. Would have wanted it throughout the season. But that's appalling. Donington would have had the Juniors, and they, you know, had, as you say, why not bring in the Legends? Why not have the Radicals? Why not have F4? There's no F4 here this weekend. I just don't understand it. The big Porsches I understand because they lap so quickly that for safety, and we've had the big Porsches here before, but we've also seen them go over the fence and stuff like that. And yeah, okay, on grounds of safety, you can make the argument that the big Porsches don't come to the smaller track. Fine. I don't fully agree, but I wouldn't argue if anybody says it's on the grounds of safety. But say, no Radicals, which we've seen at other places, no F4. No, it's got to be. No, even you brought a clubman in for the weekend just to feel. I know we've just said that contradicts slightly what we've just said about not knowing the runners and riders and all. Yep. But I'd rather have sort of, you know, the BMW Cup or something than nothing.
No, I completely get it. And what is.
Historics. Do some historics. Touring car historics. It's ridiculous.
What is also going to be a slight bugbear is that the price won't change.
No, it won't.
It'll still be the same entry fee for adults, for teenagers, whatever. And you feel like you're getting so much less value from money.
You're getting completely shortchanged.
When the ticket prices
weekend.
Are already going up again this season, which we've already mentioned.
Yeah, and I say, I never like ticket prices going up on anything, but you grumble a little bit, but if you still get a full day's action, then fair enough. They're not even doing stuff like extending the pit lane walkabout.
No.
Do two of those then. Do something to try and fill the day.
I believe that's coming at first thing in the morning.
First thing
in
the morning, yeah. But then say, do another one at lunchtime or do something. Even if you have, it's a bit late now, I suppose, because it's last minute, but if you have crazy carts being televised or something to make, you know.
You know what they need? I've got it.
Lego.
Lego touring cars.
Yeah.
Even as just a parade lap, because we saw obviously the Lego touring car, Lego F1 cars come out at Miami this weekend, just gone. And the drivers had so much fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's a really, it'd be a really good thing to bring into the championship because I think it would get them so much more visual.
Yeah, but of course
with
the F1, of course, the reason that they're there is because you can buy every single obviously they won't for the Red Bull every single car from last season, which is, and they are quite cool. I've got four of them at the moment and getting ready for the next one to come, but you're absolutely right with the ticket prices. We're not checked, but I'm going to assume it's not changed. I'm going with not out of spite or not out of martyrdom, but I am going almost thinking, yeah, for us it's a fair way to go. And we're very fortunate we can go and we shouldn't grumble too much. But yeah, it's a long way to go for, I think, about 10 races, which is just, and for a championship, one of those championships which we're not going to see again, or certainly not for a while, and is historically, you're right, it can be exciting. It can also be really, really dull. Sam, I'm really enjoying this podcast. What can I do to help it grow?
Well, Russ, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. We're on all of there, all of those even. And you can go and subscribe. Make sure that you leave a comment. Leave a like on everything that you see as well, because the interaction really helps to get our name out there. And yeah, tell us your thoughts.
Does a review help?
A review would really help. 5 stars is much appreciated, but of course, if you only want to give 4, we'd take any criticisms along the way as well.
Right, I know I'm off to. I'll see you later.
Right then, mate. Shall we get into some predictions then?
Yes, let's do that then for this second half. Where should we start? Do you want to do the race ones first, or do you want to do the general ones?
Race ones first. So, if you've not seen us before, we'll do a qualifying pole position prediction. 3 race winners, if you think there are going to be 3 different race winners across the weekend, along with Jack Sears winners, and then we'll also have other general predictions as well.
Yeah. Important just to point out that the race winners can be in any one of the 3 races. Yes. They're not in order. And the Jack Sears is the overall one for the weekend, not in every single one. Otherwise, we'd have predictions. We'd have to have a separate podcast to cover the predictions. So we'll start with pole on the Saturday, qualifying the usual 3-way format. Yep. Top 6 go through at the very end to do their Super 6 flying laps and whatnot.
Which, must I say, on the Brands Hatch Indy Circuit, works so much better than having all 24 cars out at once, because yes, drivers can't actually really complain that they can't get a lap time in.
Yep, I agree with you entirely on that, and it's going to be very, very fraught. There'll still be traffic to
yes,
negotiate.
Yes, it will.
But you're right, it'll be better than having the half an hour, because in that time you could potentially put in something silly in the old days, like 15, 20 laps, couldn't you?
Yeah, which is, and 12 of those you'd get traffic on anyway. Yeah, so
no, I agree with you entirely. We've both actually gone for the same pole sitter.
Yes, we have.
We are offering the points that one of us can change for an extra point. Are you wanting to change?
No.
Like, nor am I. So no, that's fine. We've both gone for Tom Ingram on this one.
I just think that the Hyundai in that engine is just so powerful, and he knows his way around this circuit so well.
He will, of course, have less boost to use on the qualifier, because he sits second in the championship. Sutton will have even less. Yes, absolutely. But I'm also yet to be convinced whether this will make any difference in qualifying. Hybrid made little difference overall. There were some tracks where it did make a difference.
I think the Brands Indy will make the least amount of impact.
Yeah, though every time last year we said we thought it was going to make the most, yes, it made the least.
Yes,
so
I remember.
But yes, but I'm with you. I think time is more won and lost here by how brave you can be in some of the corners, how much speed you take in stuff like Paddock Hill, how late you leave the braking at Druids and stuff like that, rather than, okay, you've got the fairly long pit straight for some boost, but everyone's going to be using it there, and it's all about your exit from clearways anyway. Yep. So yeah, no, I agree with you entirely on that. In terms of race winners, I've gone for Ingram, Sutton and Chilton. Mm-hmm. Chilton's in really good form. You could see that at Donington Park.
Yeah,
he looks comfortable in the car. He's got Barry Plowman on board helping him out. The Hyundai looks quick anyway. We know it goes round here. Chilton is one of the most experienced on the grid at this circuit.
And he took a podium last year, didn't he?
Yeah, and look, I don't think he's going to win race 1 or 2, but I think he'll be in and around those positions for the top, if the grid reversal in race 3.
Yep.
And we saw last time out, if he gets out front, generally you don't catch him.
No, I've gone for Camish, Ingram and Morgan. Mm. It's just that feeling about that Virtue Hyundai. I just think it's going to be quick this weekend.
Camish is a brave one, given that he's had some horrendous times here at Brands Hatch. Not just the championship ending problem, but last year I think he got, I think I looked at it earlier, I did write it down. He had an 18th, a 7th and a 5th.
I think he's going to have a rejuvenation year this year.
Okay.
And I know he had a poor race 1 at Donington, but that was down to a puncture, and he recovered it really well. So I think he's going to be on that train going forward, and yeah, might take home a win.
Fair enough. And in terms of the Jack Sears?
Jack Sears, it's going to be really difficult to call this unless we see some standout drivers.
All seasons going to be hard to call, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, unless we see someone that goes and takes it by the scruff of their neck, you could pick one of probably all of them.
Yeah.
I've gone for Paterson this weekend just because of how well he went at Donington and how well the Cooper goes here.
I'm changing mine last minute.
Oh, who did you have?
I had gone for Hall because I think the thing will go well. The Cooper will go well here, but I'm changing last minute to De Leon.
I'm going last.
I just feel that they would have been working non-stop this week in the factories to try and work out the problems in Donington and to try and work a way to have this fixed for this weekend. Obviously, as we discussed on the Donington review, they're struggling with the weight distribution following the removal of the 12 baby elephant hybrid system from last year. But look, WSR are a very well established team, and I just think they're going to make some changes. And also, De Leon, while he's not got a lot of racing experience, I'm going to say that Brands Hatch will be somewhere that he'll know fairly well.
See, I think if they have, I don't think they will have sorted it out fully yet, which is why, and especially at a circuit like this with the undulating corners that you've got at Brands, you're going to see more struggle from it.
I can understand, but equally, I'd also say that there's not, at Donington, there's a lot of places where you need peak performance, whereas I don't think at Brands Hatch you do so much. I think Brands Hatch is a little bit, it's not quite Thruxton, but it's a speed circuit and all the cars have got speed.
Yeah.
And I think where BMW are weakest shouldn't affect them as badly here.
Okay, then.
But we shall see. General predictions. We'll start with you.
Three general predictions, and these are, they could be about pretty much everything, including the qualifying and the races across the weekend. Mm-hmm. So my first one is that Virtue will outscore Napa this weekend. So that's four cars versus four cars. All their points collated together, I think Virtue will come out on top.
Okay. I've gone for a similar style one.
Okay.
I've gone for Restart Racing, which is Smiley and Lloyd.
Yep.
Will outscore One Motorsport this weekend, which is Cook and Jelly. Again, the Hyundai is quick. Smiley looked really at home and comfortable in it in Donington last time out. Okay, Lloyd had a fair bit of bad luck, but I don't think his pace was horrendous. I just think he had his usual luck to the car. But I'm thinking, okay, does Lloyd beat Jelly? I think he does this weekend. Does Smiley beat Cook? I don't see it being impossible.
No.
So, yeah, I'm going for that as my first general prediction.
So my second one is a little bit of a strange one. So the winner of the Jack Sears this weekend across all three races, this is, will win the Jack Sears trophy for the weekend by less than 3 points.
Okay. I mean, given how close it is, that could well be the case. I think this weekend is going to be key for the Jack Sears is who finishes. And because we often see a lot of cars off in the gravel, it's a very unforgiving circuit. There's no real runoff to any of the corners. The runoff is you're off the circuit and you're in a desert of gravel. So
one thing I must say is that last weekend at Donington, only 1 point did decide it.
Yeah.
But obviously there was chopping and changing of positions, and we could actually see a draw for the win this weekend on Jack Sears.
I would say 1 point did separate it. However, had Paterson not been yeeted off the circuit in the last few laps of race three, he would have very much won that with a fairly wide gap.
Yep.
I've gone for Mikey Doble will make the quick six qualifying, so he'll get through to the final six. I don't know what they do at PMR, because every year we write them off to a degree. Every year we say the car's too old. I think for Doble as well, this is going to sound disrespectful, but I don't mean it to be. Nobody really knew about him a couple of years ago. He came from nowhere. He hadn't really done the support series in the way other drivers had done. And he's come in and he looks a proper driver, doesn't he? He just looks so comfortable in the touring cars.
I was going to say, he's settled in really nicely. Yeah. And the pace that he showed at Donington last weekend, I think I've seen an interview afterwards that said that race one or race two, it felt like that's the quickest he's ever been in the Astra. So, yeah, I think he's only going to improve from now on.
Yeah, we saw it in race three. He was starting towards the back of the grid and got comfortably into the points-paying positions. Yep. I think, he's a really exciting talent and just seems to get the touring cars, which is really good.
Yeah. So my final prediction for the Generals then is Max Hall is going to score points in all three races.
To clarify, these are points in the championship, not Jack Sears points.
Yes, points in the championship. So whether that be a fastest lap or a lead lap for whatever reason, or in the top 15 in all three races, then that so be it.
Okay, I've gone. This is probably the boldest out of the three. I think De Leon gets a podium this weekend. I'm going early.
That's brave.
Race three.
That's so brave.
The BMW goes well here historically. We know this. We know this. I thought De Leon had a fairly good account of himself last weekend. A few mistakes. Tumbled down the order towards the end of the races twice. But actually, wheel-to-wheel combat, I thought, was generally fine. I thought he looked pretty good overall for the first time out racing that car. And I think that he'd have learnt lots from last weekend, and I think he'll take that into this one.
Yeah, if you haven't gone and listened to it already, our review out from Donington is on YouTube and all podcast platforms, and we take you through all the action that happened over the weekend. And it does seem like that midfield battle is going to be a real skirmish throughout the season.
Absolutely. And then a thank you to our fans, as ever. I put out a plea on TikTok and on our social media this week. We want your help throughout the season. So if you're only listening to this for the first time, don't worry, you've not missed your chance. Every weekend, we do a general prediction about the track we're going to. So it's track specific. Yeah. Last time out at Donington, it was the price of rum. This weekend,
it was his birthday, by the way. Just to clarify, not just because we're alcoholics.
Yeah. But we've been doing this podcast for so long that we tend to recycle the same old track specific ones. So we've put a plea out to you guys, and as always, you've responded, which is always really cool for us. And we've gone for, I forget who suggested it was, so I do apologize. I should have probably written that down, but we're going for overtakes at Druids. Now, initially, it was the suggestion was down the inside at Druids. That's going to be too difficult for us to work out. So what we're going to do is any overtake at Druids, and the move must be completed by the time they in the braking zone for Graham Hill Bend.
Yes, and just to clarify, it can't be an overtake that's happened because a driver has gone off at Druids into the barrier, into the gravel or anything like that. It has to be a pure, what I'd like to say is a pure overtake.
I can't wait for the arguments where somebody gets pushed wide and doesn't go off the circuit. And that's probably why you've gone so high. And now I'm thinking about it, I'm realizing what a fool I've been. But I won't change it because they're going to be good. They're going to be well-behaved. And I'm going to stick with the magic number seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Across three races?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So I've gone for 13 and I thought I was being a little cautious.
Been for 11.
I went for 13.
I've written down 11, but okay.
I thought four in each race plus a special one.
A special one? A
special one.
And these don't include safety car overtakes, do they?
No.
Lapping. Doesn't include lapping either. No, it's got to be four position on the circuit.
Yeah, so I've gone for 13.
Yeah, seven seems a bit silly. Three, as ever, 3 points if you bang on, one point to the closest. I might as well give you a point on that already because actually, I just know Cook's going to get punted off there and not go off in the gravel. And I need, if anyone's going to get punted off, they need to go the full hog and get properly beached, don't they?
And just so you're up to date, I lead 5-2 already from the opening weekend. Which you can see on screen now. Any final thoughts before the weekend?
Yes, I've got a couple of bits just to tidy up. You are doing an alternative universe for us all this year, which is very exciting. So you may have listened to some of the stuff we did leading up to the season. We did our potential rule changes, and Sam came up with the most baffling...
I've had support on this.
Just saying. From who?
The nice gentleman that we spoke to.
I was going to say, for my dad, it doesn't count. So you've come up with this baffling new algorithm where everybody scores points every race they finish. And just for fun, Sam has written a code for all of this and will be tracking throughout the season. At the minute, not a lot has changed. So we won't bring you updates every weekend on it because that would get very boring for me as much as you guys. But we will keep you up to date periodically throughout the season to see whether your radical 1 billion points for a win changes things. And if you finish the race with one tyre less, you get minus 1,000 points. And if your spoiler's wonky, it's plus 10.
You may have taken that slightly out of context.
Power slides through the corner, give him an extra 5 points for style. Yeah. But no, we will keep you up to date throughout the year when that starts to get a bit more interesting. Obviously, after only one round, it's still pretty much close to what we've seen on the actual logical sense of point scoring.
If you want to hear more specifics about my proposed rule changes...
We'll be doing a TED Talk coming to a town near you.
There is a YouTube and a podcast on the rule changes that we've got for this season going ahead, if you don't know them already, and suggested rule changes that we have come up with as well. So please do it and go and watch or listen to that.
And I say bookings are available, Sam, to come and do you a TED Talk on this subject, very reasonably priced. My other final thoughts are that I really think, and it's early in the season, I know, and we do like a bit of Russell hyperbole on this podcast, but I do really think BMW have to bounce back this weekend. And I think if they don't, I think it's curtains already. I really do, because I cannot see Napa and virtue dropping away enough. And I think if they, at the minute, Hill is just about on the coattails, but those coattails are slipping.
I think it's already the case of, normally you can get away with one bad weekend. I'm not saying Hill had a massively bad weekend.
But the, it was just the gap that's worried. If I was a BMW fan or a Hill fan, it would be the gap that's worrying me. Yeah. I think that they've got to get back onto it this weekend.
Definitely.
Yourself?
Hoping for it to be dry, definitely.
The weather, three independent weather apps says it will be. So, guaranteed rain.
Can't wait for rain in race two.
Guaranteed.
Yeah, if you're going this weekend, come and say hi to us. We're always welcome to hear from you and chat to you there and then. Russ will have stickers with him, won't you?
If I bring the right coat, yes.
Lovely. And, yeah, looking forward to this weekend. I think it will be a good weekend of racing, but I do think it's going to be the Ford and the Hyundai to beat. And I think it will be nice and tight and close.
Right, we better go book some tickets.
Definitely.
See you there.
See you soon.